This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and our producer, Cal Hunter. It is the 12th of February, beautiful day in the West Coast. Appreciate you being here. We really thank our listeners. We know it's just a fun time that we have with you. Remember that we're only talking about general topics of law. Seek counsel. We are not giving legal advice. This hour is going to be some really cool stuff. We're going to talk about Queen's Gambit lawsuit, the Sarah Palin lawsuit against New York Times. For something the New York Times, you know, like Denise and I were talking about during the break, and Todd, they did retract, and what they did, they shouldn't have done, but, you know, they retracted it. So the question is she going to meet her burden of proof in this case for basically libel slander, right? And then we're going to discuss big settlements against the Cal school systems. That's going to be an interesting one. We're going to go into, if you want to hear what we said the first hour, you can go to RadioLawTalk.com or go to any of the major, Spotify's or iHeart or Google, and you can listen to our podcasts. But if you go to our website at RadioLawTalk.com, you can actually type in what you want to listen to or what you want to hear. Say it's about the latest Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage, let's say, for example. It'll take you back to the date that we talked about that. So go ahead and use our website. And as Cal Hunter always says, most of you are listening to this live, but if your station decides to take us off because of a preempted game, like, you know, maybe a big football game going on or something.
Yeah, tomorrow is an example. Yeah, this is an example.
Just go ahead and go to our website, and you can listen live. Click on the live button, and you listen live. So appreciate you being here. But before we do any of that, Cal, why don't you go ahead and play your little game?
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Charles Harrison was a very smart man, the winner of the 2008 National Design Award for Lifetime Achievement. He died November 29th at the age of 87. And now it can be told that Charles Harrison created hundreds of pleasing, easy-to-use household products during his 32-year career with the retail giant Sears Roebuck & Company. Harrison got a bachelor's degree in fine arts at industrial design in 1954, a master's in art education later. He was really gifted at what he did. And because he was an African-American, he could never catch on full-time. And finally, he started doing contract. And this is true. This was back in that time. Just what it was. So then he started in 1954. He started doing contract work for Sears, and eventually they hired him on, and he became the company's chief of design, making many really tremendous products, some of which we may discuss a little later. But he was the anonymous designer behind a very popular toy called the ViewMaster. Now, people loved the ViewMaster. Parents loved it because it was educational. Kids liked it because you could see stuff in 3D. It was kind of cool looking. And so, you know, the first one was very bulky. It was kind of like, you know, prototype, big box. So GAF, the photo company, got a look at the prototype and said, you know what? We can do this better. And so they came out with their own version without talking to the inventor or anything like that. The ViewMaster became a fixture in American households throughout the second half of the 20th century. Its slide discs stocked with images from American national parks to popular cartoon characters. Soon, Mr. Harrison learned about the BASF version of the machine. He bought one, took his original model, and went to a lawyer friend of his and said, "Wait, I invented this. They stole my idea from me. Do I have a case or no case?" Mr. Kunin, what do you think?
It's interesting how commercials work, because I haven't seen this particular commercial for easily two decades, maybe even longer. And the minute you said BASF, the tagline came to mind at BASF, we don't make a lot of the things that people like. We make them better.
That's right.
Very good. Yeah, yeah. Which appears to be what happened here with this one. So I'll tell you what, because I've been taking the easy way out and saying no case on a bunch of things, I'm going to say that this is a case, and that ultimately it settles, because if it had gone to trial, I think that they might have been able to prove that BASF changed it enough to where it wasn't even the same thing, really, because they made it so smaller, handheld, not as bulky, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to say it is a case, and it settles.
Okay. There's another company that gets involved a little later called GAF that used to be sort of a quasi-Kodak of its time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk more about that. But Denise, what do you think? Is this a case for Mr. Harrison or no case?
Well, Harrison was an employee at the time of Sears Roebuck.
That's correct.
And back, I just remember cases where the design of the employee was not the, it became the design of the employer. In other words, the employer owned it. So it wouldn't be, even if Harrison would sue BASF, Sears Roebuck might have the real true
the rights.
Holder of the rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is a case, and I think that it does imply that something happens in the case where they decide that it's not Harris that holds the rights, but it's Sears Roebuck. And so, but also, I just think that I think it's a fluke. I think that Harris does not win because the ownership rights are with Sears Roebuck.
Interesting. Fred, what do you think, case or no case?
This is what I think.
Oh, wait, you have to go ahead and make sure I can hear you.
This is Fred Hammond's best kiss. So we look at our U.S. reviewer. Fred, Hammond's best kiss in 3D. They're being kidnapped.
It's showing a ViewMaster commercial. I had to look it up. Oh, my gosh, two cute little girls.
I loved that.
Looking at a ViewMaster.
They were great things, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I got one when I was a kid, and it's bringing me back to my childhood and those little discs. And every time you went to, like, a national park, you would see them for sale, the discs, right? You'd grab a disc and, Daddy, Mommy, can I buy a disc? Look at the same picture over and over again. But
they were still cool.
They were so cool.
Stereoscopic vision, two camera lenses right next to each other, so you got this depth that you otherwise I mean, this was revolutionary.
Was that like the predecessor to the show and tell?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Sure. I loved my show and tell.
Todd's laughing, and I am too.
I'm not going there. Close your eyes.
I'm not going there. I'm not going there either. That's the first thing I thought. Anyway, look, I'm with Denise on this one. I think it's a real case. I think that he loses, and I think Denise nailed it. He didn't own that patent. It wasn't his patent. It didn't have the rights to it. He was an employee, and it's not him. What did you say, Tom?
So I say case, and it settles, which means technically he gets something. You guys say case, but he loses. All right. So, Cal, if this is no case, you could get points.
It's so unusual that I have the possibility of getting points.
Can you tease us on it?
I'm just going to tease. I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, don't tell me.
I want you to look. If you're listening to this on a stereo at home somewhere, look with one eye into each speaker, and you'll see what the view must look like.
I used to love that thing. Click.
Very
click,
cool.
Click.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool item. Very yeah. cool.
So anyway, when we come back, we're going to find out about the ViewMaster and whether or not it was an actual lawsuit by the supposed inventor. You know, the way it is in history is the inventors never were the rich guys or gals. It's the people who marketed it and learned how to market it. We'll be back after this. Take us out, Cal.
Thanks. You are listening to Radio Law Talk on lots of great local radio stations, whom we thank for carrying the show. And, of course, if they decide not to for an hour or whatever, you can catch the whole thing live at RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be back. Hold on.
Law Talk. Radio Law Talk. This is
Law Talk. Aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinion.
opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz2Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quick Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quick Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quick Car Wash.
Quick Quick Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cutter shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case. Oh, come on.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
All right, listen. All right. This is Henry Fonda.
It's truly interesting.
Now, this guy's got the same shirt I had on in 1971.
Sounds like we're listening to the original telephone.
Yes.
That's right.
Anyway, yeah, it doesn't sound that great, but you
Mr.
know
Mr. Watson, I need you. Mr. Watson, I need you.
Yeah, it was, well, it is kind of old and scratchy, but it's interesting. Henry Fonda doing the Viewmaster, and it showed the guy, the little kids there. Oh, this looks dreamy, he said. 1971 commercial, and it shows the kid looking at something, go, oh, this is dreamy. And this Cal, it's the exact same shirt he was wearing that I wore, and all my brothers had, we had three of them, we took it together, all together, the same shirt. It was a 1970s shirt.
You have to have Western shirts. I mean, that plaid theme.
Well, they didn't. This one wasn't, but it was. But
no, this was like the Star Trek with the little things around the neck.
Oh. But don't forget, in those days, it wasn't. How many different type of shirts can you get nowadays? Millions. But now it's back then it was only a few.
I'm just thinking I was the third kid. How many could they actually survive to be handed down? You know, that's the
question.
I feel like we're going down a back in my day rabbit hole here.
Yes, I love it. But you know what? We're talking about the Viewmaster, whether or not the original, quote, inventor of the Viewmaster that worked for Sears and Roebuck brought a lawsuit to a BAF, and the Viewmaster said, hey, that's my technology that you're using, and the question was, is it a case, and what is the outcome? Todd said it is a case, but they settled. Denise and I said it is a case, and the, quote, original inventor did not have the rights because he was an employee, and therefore he loses. Cal, to you.
And I say this. Developed to provide ease of comfort, the Viewmaster's original color was beige to make it subtle and compatible with other photographic products of its day. Later, the color changed when the Viewmaster ownership was sold to GAF and manufactured by the Sawyer Manufacturing Company of Portland, Oregon. And while Viewmaster may be Harrison's best-known product, he was proud of his design for the first plastic garbage can with rolling wheels on it, which you could buy from Sears. And let's see.
A close second to the Viewmaster.
Other stuff like that. He thought that was like the thing that changed the world. So he was the first guy to say, you know, why do we have a metal garbage can when we could use plastic? It's lighter. It's better. And why do I have a Viewmaster here that people are going to steal from me? The trouble is, nobody stole it from me.
Cal won. Yeah. So he was the original guy, and it was his.
Yeah, true
he
story.
Sold it.
The product was sold, and Sears did give him a royalty, so he did all right for himself, did Mr. Harrison. And
They gave him a royalty. From now on, you will be known as the King of the Viewmaster.
King of the Viewmaster.
You get no money, but you're the King of the Viewmaster.
No, but that means that Sears Roebuck did own the patent.
That's right. It was theirs. Of course it was. Yeah. So they and they paid. They contracted to get it manufactured. I mean, he was just the smart guy that came in the room and said, look at this cool thing I just made. Right. Or look at this garbage can. It has a lift up lid like the metal ones of the day, but it has wheels on the bottom. And instead of weighing 10 pounds, it weighs 2. I mean, he was just thinking, man, I have changed the world. This is my killer app right here. The garbage can. Whereas the GAF Viewmaster had a lot of legacy.
And if you put those two together, you come away with this idea. The Viewmaster, the predecessor to, let's say, the browser history, and the trash can, why you always want to delete your browser history. There you go.
What's interesting, too, though, is you bring back the nostalgia again, Cal. And yep. Me, I just, it's nostalgia day, but remember the old muscle man that would pull up to pick up your garbage can, and it was a big metal garbage can full, and they'd throw it on their shoulder and then throw it into the back of the garbage truck, and the garbage truck would smash it.
And then he'd hurt his back, and he'd sue the company, and, you know.
Oh, they didn't sue in those days. Lawyers didn't make money back then.
Good point.
About Sarah Palin, Denise? What's going on with Sarah Palin? She's suing New York Times. What's that all about, and how's it going?
Well, she's suing for defamation of her character. And she is, of course, somebody that's well-known in the public, so she's a public figure. And what happened is that she created this map, and it was like, these are the districts we're going to attack, if you will, and try to get our own Republicans into these different districts. So it was an election-type map, and it was a map, and it was a there was like a hit list. And these different districts had what's called crosshairs marked on them, which is like, I don't know, some people interpret it as being, you know, shoot it or something like that. But it's basically this is what districts we're going to attack. And in 2011, there was a crazy person who went and started to shoot up in one of those districts, and they actually killed a couple people, even a child, I believe, and they also shot Gabby Giffords, who was a congresswoman at the time.
From Arizona.
That's right. And so that happened. And then later there was another incident, a gun incident, where a person went, and I believe this is where they went to that baseball game, and they shot up the other, a congressman this time. And at that was in 2017. And at that time, the person who wrote this article about Sarah Palin was trying to make a connection about how the politics field has changed and how it's become really kind of dirtier and, you know, more of attacking each other and all of that. And so he did this editorial piece. And then the editor, who was under pressure to try to get more readerships from New York Times, he actually put the words in that made the link between, that said there was a link between Sarah Palin's map that she had drawn with the crosshairs and the violence in these different districts.
Right. And that's what they put in New York Times.
That's exactly right. So as soon as that happened, the New York Times realized, wow, this is a huge mistake. And with 24 hours, they withdrew that language and did a public apology and published it.
But Denise, they insinuated that was the intent. They insinuated this is what Palin wanted to do, in a sense.
They did. They did. And there's no question that it could be something that would impugn the integrity or impugn, even worse, make somebody's acts criminal, which would be horrific. So now we need to address that.
We're going to come back and talk more about it after the break, but this is very interesting and what's going on with that trial.
Fascinating stuff as Radio Law Talk continues here, and we hope that you can stay tuned because, like I said, we got a lot more coming up.
You turned on Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cutter shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take your car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. is reportedly planning today to evacuate the embassy in Ukraine, as Secretary of State Antony Blinken is warning a Russian invasion of Ukraine is now looking more and more imminent.
We don't know whether President Putin has made that decision.
But we do know that he has put in place the capacity to act on very short notice.
The Pentagon announcing yesterday another 3,000 U.S. combat troops are going to Poland, joining 1,700 already assembling there as a demonstration of American commitment to NATO allies who are worried at the prospect of Russia invading Ukraine. Dozens of demonstrators still protesting at a busy border crossing between the U.S. and Canada. Canadian truckers still protesting Canada's new rule requiring them to be fully vaccinated when crossing the U.S. border. And this is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. SaveGCN.com. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and Pray. You may select all of those choices. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show. Oh, come on.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
We're talking about Sarah Palin and her case against the New York Times. Denise, you were talking. Look, there's a lot of people, and we're going to get into this in a minute, that are saying, oh, her testimony was good or not good, and Todd brought up some good points that we're going to bring up. But you follow up with what you were saying still before we get to
Todd. Well, she has a hard road to show because this involves really important constitutional rights of freedom of speech and freedom of the press.
Yeah.
So it's super important here, and a lot of people are watching this one. She has to actually show that Bennett from the New York Times acted with actual malice or proceeded with reckless disregard of the truth or falsity in this matter of what was said in that article. So that's a very hard standard. I'm sorry. That's going to be difficult for anybody.
Very, very difficult.
Yes, yes. It is. And it's done. The reason that standard's so high is because it's such an important constitutional right to protect. And so they do make it difficult, especially when you're dealing with a public figure. Because just think about this. If the press makes a mistake and they're doing something with a public figure or trying to challenge a public official's, you know, job or what they've done in something, if they were going to be subject to huge liability, then the press isn't going to try to dig deep and try to, you know, really get to the bottom of things. And that's kind of the idea in the United States, is that we want the press to be free and be able to do that.
Before we get to you, Todd, really quick. So, Denise, and I can answer this, but what is the difference between a public figure and a private individual when it comes to libel slander? The public figure, it's got to be an extreme. Basically, there's buzzwords, but it's basically extreme. It's got to be an intentional act.
Actual malice.
Yeah, malice.
Yes.
Right.
And comment, just to draw the distinction, let's say I did the exact same thing that Sarah Palin did. I created a map and I did the districts and all that, but I'm just me. I'm just some dude. I'm not a public figure. And the exact same thing, for whatever reason, is written about me in the New York Times editorial. Well, if I sued, I don't have to prove actual malice.
Right.
Because it's lower. But she does because of her stature. Because she's a public figure, and that's where it's different. And she has a much higher burden than I would have, or you would have, or anybody that is not a public figure would have.
Exactly. Yeah. And the important thing about this, in my opinion, is because truth is a defense, right? Truth is always a defense. So if it was true, then, you know, that'd be an actual defense. If it's a non-public figure, and the New York Times had defamed this non-public figure and said they wrote that map to incite violence, well, that's basically calling someone a criminal. And that's per se defamation of character for a non-public figure. And so damages would be fairly straightforward from there, right? But with a public figure, they have to show not just actual malice or reckless.
Who's they? Right. The public figure.
The press that's trying to defend against a defamation would have to show, or would have to have a defense to actual malice or reckless disregard. And in this particular case, their defense is super interesting because they're saying that there was no intent to cause it. As soon as they found out that it may not have been true, then they published a correction, and it was literally within, you know, 2 days of the first editorial. And basically, they're arguing some mitigation of damage issue there. And so now it's kind of everything's shifting to look at, did Sarah Palin suffer damage?
Yeah, I just think they're saying we had sloppy editorial practices. Sorry. I mean, this was a clear case of malpractice of journalism. It's just my opinion. I'm a former TV news guy. Never did editorials. But in my opinion, looking at it from a long non-lawyer view, you cannot accuse a former politician of murder because you hate her guts. They've done that to Donald Trump and other people, which is why I think they're so worried about this. This could come crashing down on them big time if they lose, in my opinion.
But editorials are opinions. And so, you know, there's going to be a fine line here. This, to me, this is going to be an important case.
Yeah.
It's not one to just sweep under the rug and, oh, it's just, you know, it's not going to matter. I think it's going to matter. It's going to go up, and she will appeal if she loses. They will appeal if she wins.
So the big hurdle, as I see it, the big hurdle for, let's assume that Sarah Palin is able to prove malice and all that kind of stuff. The big hurdle for her is to prove, okay, how are you damaged by this? What are your damages? Now one of them may be, well, if it was actual malice, you're essentially accusing her of a crime, inciting violence, and those are per se damages. But aside from that, it'd be an accounting function. Her claim is, I was being asked to advise and do all these things all the way up till 2017 when this editorial hit. And even though they issued a retraction 24 hours later of that specific allegation, my requests of me to advise dropped off the map.
She became toxic politically.
Okay, and so nobody would touch her as far as advising is concerned. Now, where I think that the New York Times has hurdles when it comes to actual malice, so is this. The journey of that article that ended up being published started out with one person. It was then submitted to another individual who looked at it and went into the final person whose name is on the article and said, hey, we need to take a look at this. And then that person not only reviewed it for content of the first two, after the first two people looked at it, but then added the language that was found to be offensive and then pulled it back. So if it's gone through three sets of eyes and somebody makes the intention, they can't claim that this was put in, oh, this somehow made it past the filter. How did we get this in here? It went through two filters and then the last person put it in.
And the media term is punch this up. We've got to punch this up.
Right. And so I think that's a hurdle. Now listen. You're going to have people on both sides of the political, all sides of the political spectrum, saying whether or not the case was made, whether it wasn't, whether Sarah Palin, who testified recently, bombed in her testimony, or whether she was able to make points. My view on it is this, and I had the same view with the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict out of Wisconsin. It's this. Anybody can say what they want, but nobody, not the judge, not the participants, not the lawyers, not the pundits, nobody is viewing the same evidence the same way the jury is. The jury doesn't know what happens on on arguments at the bench between the judge. The jury's not supposed to be watching TV to find out what the pundits have to say. The jury is the only one. Those 12 people on alternates are the only ones that are looking at the evidence through the narrow view of what's been presented to them.
So in 2021, Sarah Palin's net worth was estimated at $12 million. But in 2022, and this is as of February 2nd, 2022, her net worth has gone down to $8 million. So if she can tie that loss of income to somehow this article and specific damages, then she might have, you know, a $4 million case.
Maybe.
We'll have to see what happens here.
And probably just she wants to do it to help out her future, right? So she can have other speaking engagements. That's where they make their money, is the speaking engagements.
That and consulting. But I also think she wants to say, look, get this right, and don't just come after me because you don't happen to like my politics. I think that that's the bigger battlefield, the background battlefield here, is that the Times obviously did not like her politics, and they said, well, what can we do to embarrass her? Show her up. Let's attach murder to her. Yeah, there you go.
I don't think that's quite it.
Well, but I'm saying that's how it ended
up. We want to sell papers, so let's make it interesting.
That's my point.
Here is the unspoken, you know, concern that I have. I don't think anybody's going around saying, this is our policy, but this is, behind the scenes, my biggest concern. If it's true that after this article, Sarah Palin's ability to operate as a consultant, as a pundit, her booking just dropped off the map. If this made her completely untouchable because of this, my concern is that that now opens up the playbook on either side of the aisle to say, hey, you know what? All we really have to do is write an article that contains some defamatory content. Then we'll issue the retraction. And you know what? If it costs us $2 or $3 million, we'd happily pay that if it gets that player out of the political process.
Called a smear campaign. It's a smear.
If that gets them out of the political process, money well spent. We just forced her to the sidelines. That is my concern about that precedent being set behind the scenes. And that's my concern, whether it's on the left or the right, because I don't like that playbook.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Queen's Gambit lawsuit, big settlement against the California school systems, Pandora being sued by prominent comedians, and Scott Peterson appeal. That's really interesting. When we come back, we're going to hit all that up.
Wow, a lot of good stuff coming up right here on Radio Law Talk, and you really won't want to miss any of it, so just stay tuned to Radio Law Talk on this station or wherever you're listening, and we'll be right back. Hang on.
You found Radio Law Talk.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
That is Armadillo.
Radio Law Talk. Now, back to the show.
You say, what the heck is Queen's Gambit? That's what Cal and I said. But what? Sure enough, Denise and Todd know about Queen's Gambit. Tell us about the show briefly and what the lawsuit's about.
So the Queen's Gambit was one that really got popular during the lockdown. It was a Netflix-produced miniseries. There's like six, seven episodes to it. And the story follows a young girl, orphaned, living in a Catholic group home, something like that, befriends somebody who is very good at chess. She's who likes chess, the game, and she's fascinated with it, and turns out she's a savant. She's really good at this game. And so it follows her, it's set in the 60s, and it follows her rise in a game through competitions that are primarily dominated by male figures, right? And so without giving away a lot of the plot or anything, there comes a time when she is engaged in a match against a prominent, like the best player in Russia. And while they're showing the crowd, now this is all based, it's all fiction, it's not based on a true story. While they're showing the crowd, there's one part where, I'm going to butcher this last name, Gaprindashvili, there's a part where the camera pans and it shows a woman spectator, and the announcer says, there's Nona Gaprindashvili, but she's the female world champion and has never faced men. And then it goes on. That one line has gotten Netflix in trouble because that individual, Nona Gaprindashvili, is an actual figure, actual person, who was an actual chess champion and had faced and defeated several male competitors in Russia.
59. Yeah, she had faced up to 59.
Yes.
And she had even played once 28 men at the same time, which is amazing.
Wow. So yes, so that is what she did. So she's 80 years old now. She's in her 80s, and she is claiming that that one line humiliated her to such a degree and was so defamatory
and so false.
It's so false that she is entitled and is seeking damages of $5 million plus additional damages, and that lawsuit is pending. And the lawsuit just survived a motion for summary judgment. For dismissal, where the judge essentially went through all of the factors and said, no, this one can go forward. We're not going to dismiss this case.
And that's not in Russian currency. That's in U.S. dollars. This is serious money. And in Russia, $5 million, that's still a lot of dough.
That is.
Right. Okay. And this is an interesting one because this is a defamation case again. And we have to find out whether or not she's going to be deemed to be a public figure. That did not really rise up in this case yet. What the defense was that they had at the beginning of this Queen's Gambit a disclaimer that said this show is not based on any real persons. There are fictitious, persons in this and all of that. And the court said, just because you have that disclaimer, it doesn't necessarily mean that she can't sue you. Because you did imply a real person and the facts about that real person in this show.
Have you ever heard the phrase Marvel Cinematic Universe or the DC Comics Cinematic Universe?
Sure, that's all those films that make out of Marvel characters.
Marvel Cinematic Universe, they refer to things that are, they just refer to iPhones and Facebook and all this stuff, but it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the DC Universe characters like Batman, they don't exist. This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I could see them going, look, in the Queen's Gambit Cinematic Universe, this person had never faced a male. In actual life, she had, but not in the universe of ours. That does not save the day for purposes of dismissal. But here's the thing I find somewhat ironic. I had never, ever heard of this person before I found out about her lawsuit.
Nor I.
The lawsuit is for, quote, defamation. She was defamed. I would submit that the Netflix show did the opposite of defaming. It put her on the map.
No, it famed her.
It famed her. Yeah, is she a public figure? No, I don't think she's a public figure. Nobody knew who she was. Okay? But this is drawing so much more attention to who this 80-year-old individual was who had defeated, 56 male competitors in a male-dominated sport and game back in the 50s and the 60s. It makes her accomplishments remarkable, and but for this mention in the Queen's Gambit, nobody would have ever thought to go and look her up unless you were somebody that was really into chess.
And now I'm going to say the other side, because she was very famous. She was part of the Georgian Parliament in Russia, which would make her a public figure in Russia. She was honored by her nation with the Order of Excellence in 2015. And there is also a perfume named after her. So I'm just saying,
a chess perfume?
American doesn't necessarily have the view that she's a public figure, but I think she's going to be a public figure. It's not just our view as Americans whether or not she's a public figure. It has to be more of a world view.
Here's my point. Before we selected to do this story today, had you ever heard of her? Did you know who she was? I didn't.
No, but the Russians did.
Yeah, the Russians may have, but she's not suing in Russia now, is she?
No, and
She's suing in America. She's suing in the United States where they have this defamation, where she can try to prove if the Queen's Gambit was over in Russia, I think every Russian would look at this and say, oh, well, that's wrong. Yeah. Well, we know who she is,
right.
But she's suing here.
Right, the point is there are some cultures where chess is a big deal, but in the United States, not so much.
Yeah. I think she ought to be skipping all the way to the bank, thanking them for making the misstep. Because if they had accurately quoted her, nobody else outside of Russia would be hearing about her. Yet here we are on a Saturday morning talking about this person that nobody would have ever known about before this. So I think she's going to be hard-pressed to show damages.
Yeah, but if it was a news program and they made an error, that's a different story. But this is an actual.
This is going to be a fun one to follow.
Yeah.
Because how can you say, by the way, these are fictional characters, don't represent anyone, by the way, but that person you see, that's a real person, and she never beat a man, never played a man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting, I guess that's what the court's working on, huh?
I think this is going to settle.
I think it'll settle. I think all the fighting is going to be, can Netflix get this thing punted pre-trial? And if they can't, I don't think you'll ever see a jury.
Speaking of settlement, $243.6 million settlement to former UCLA individuals.
Man.
That 200 women alleged, that you have to say alleged at this time because it's settled. They weren't found guilty, the UCLA, who said they were abused by UCLA gynecologists. I don't know the details. I don't want to know the details, but it's interesting. That large amount of money. And UCLA, obviously, though it's alleged, UCLA puts out the following statement, though. The conduct alleged to have been committed by Heaps, that's the doctor, is reprehensible and contrary to the university's values. So that's per NBC News. They quote that from the doctor. But the question, from UCLA. Question is, they did tout it properly, the conduct alleged to have been committed. So they're just saying, if this occurred, this is bad.
Because the doctor, Dr. Heaps,
right.
he maintains, I did nothing wrong.
That's
I did
exactly.
not do anything wrong. And it's a tough spot for Southern California institutions because earlier USC, University of Southern California, agreed to an $852 million settlement.
700 women, though.
And that was with 700 women on campus with a different gynecologist, Dr. George Tyndall.
He probably said he's not guilty either.
Yeah, yeah. So look, these settlements are coming out, and the doctors are maintaining their innocence, but... You know, the doctor doesn't get to tell the school, you should fight this, you should settle. The school has to look at it
and
they want.
$490 million against University of Michigan for 1,000 women who alleged that a sports doctor, apparently was
took indecent liberties,
improper. Boy, the money is just what's interesting to me is the amount of money that are pouring out. Like Cal says, who's paying for this?
Yeah.
It's us.
It's not the doctor.
It's the taxpayer, yeah. So we'll be back. Hour three, we're going to talk about Pandora being sued by some comedians. That's very interesting. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Next hour, Radio Law Talk starts at 6 minutes after the next hour. You can join us here on your favorite radio station or at RadioLawTalk.com. It's your choice, and we thank you for listening. We'll be back.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.